The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Time was, Luke, when we went to the doctor, the first thing the doctor said is, stick out your tongue.
Stick out your tongue, that's right, Pat, and have a good look at the tongue. And the Chinese for 2,000 years were looking at tongues, for instance. So the tongue can tell us an awful lot about our health. And the tongue is a very... We've never done the tongue before, Pat, have we? We've done many organs, haven't we?
But we haven't done
the tongue. I don't think we've done the tongue, and there's recent stuff on the tongue.
I presume, though, the real reason that the doctor used to ask me to stick out the tongue was to have a look at my tonsils or something, rather than actually looking at the tongue itself.
Partly, I think, yeah. But it turns out the tongue has all these colours. There's 7 different colours that your tongue can go through, you know. And different colours indicate different sort of health status and various things in your body. That it's like a little signal of what's happening inside your body, really, is the idea.
It's a busy little organ, isn't it? Because it's got presumably taste buds built in, and it's got muscle to help you get your food through you and all that sort of thing.
It's interesting. It's 8 separate muscles are in your tongue, for instance. The only muscle not to be attached to a bone, that's the second feature. It moves all the time, even when you're asleep. Your tongue is moving away to swallow saliva. And then, so it helps you digest food as well and, you know, chew up food, I guess. And then secondly, then the taste buds. Yeah, we have these papillae. 10,000 taste buds per tongue are there to sense the various, you know, the various flavours in food.
Okay, so the colour then of the tongue and what it might tell us.
Yeah, so the first was a strawberry tongue.
Strawberry.
If it's bright red, right, that means you got a nasty infection. And in particular, remember scarlet fever, Pat? Mm-hmm. The word scarlet, of course, is there. Streptococcus pyogenes is the bug that makes your tongue go into a strawberry. But secondly, more seriously, a thing called toxic shock syndrome, which can be very serious.
And that's so if you have strawberry tongue, if it's really bright red, you're in trouble one way or the other. Get help.
Go and see a doctor. A toxic shock can be lethal. Clostridium, I used to work on that myself, actually. That can cause the tongue to go really bright red. And what's happening is it's a sign inside your body there's something going on. There's an infection somewhere.
Yeah.
And the blood vessels dilate and all the blood now rushes into the tongue and makes it bright red. So strawberry tongue is the one to watch for there.
Now, what other colours might I see?
It's like the rainbow. Blue tongue. That's blue. The second one. If your tongue goes blue, that normally means some kind of blood flow problem somewhere, because less blood is flowing into your tongue and it begins to go a bit blue. And it can be heart problems, lung problems can cause blue tongue as well, of course. And eczema, Pat, strangely enough, eczema in kids, sometimes the tongue goes blue. And it must be about your blood flow changing in your body and no longer going in. Of course, redness is all about blood, not so much blood in your tongue, then it begins to go blue. So again, it can be a sign of some kind of heart or lung problem if it goes blue.
What other tongue conditions might we discern?
Well, next is smooth tongue. Did you ever have a really
smooth
tongue? Yes, if it goes really smooth, that means you're deficient in certain vitamins. So B group vitamins, for example.
I'm checking already.
You're checking. Are you deficient in vitamin B?
No, it seems to be okay, yeah.
Okay. Or vitamin B, folic acid. You may know about folic acid from women who are trying to conceive. It's a very important hormone when you're trying to conceive, because it stops neural tube defects. If your tongue is smooth, there's a chance you might be folic acid deficient. So again, they watch for that smoothness. And then yellow tongue is the next one, Pat. That's a sign of diabetes, strangely. If your tongue goes a bit yellow,
okay,
it might indicate diabetes. Now, of course, you can imagine in ancient times, the Chinese or whoever would spot this. They couldn't do much for you, mind you.
Sure.
Now, though, a doctor, hang on a minute, there's something funny about that tongue, and it can help the doctors then in terms of how they might treat you.
I presume if you had liver problems as well, your tongue might go...
Yeah, jaundice.
Yeah,
exactly, jaundice. If it happens, and that goes yellow as well.
Now, what happens if you've got a white tongue?
Yeah, now, anemia. So again, if you're very low iron, your blood is affected and now the tongue can go a bit white because you're anemic, and that means you're iron deficient. And again, that's not uncommon, but in older people especially, they sometimes get a bit anemic and maybe the tongue has gone a bit paler, shall we say, and now they think that might be anemia, and that's an indication then you might go and get that checked out as well.
Now, we're going through the spectrum, really. Indigo and violet.
Yeah, asthma. Isn't that strange? Asthma. And again, that must be your breathing is affected, your blood is getting constricted in your tongue, and now the tongue goes a really dark purple type, much, much, much darker than blue. And that might mean a severe asthma situation or some kind of allergic reaction. Again, if the tongue goes blue, that might be a sign of some kind of allergy.
And COVID-19 and the tongue.
But again, as you may remember, Pat, that COVID always was sort of a blood thing in a way. We knew that, remember early on, it was called happy hypoxia. There was something wrong with breathing. It's in your lungs, obviously, and breathing was affected. It turns out severe COVID, the tongue goes bright red as well. And again, that must be because blood flow is changing into your tongue. And in fact, with severe COVID, that became a bit of a marker early on that the COVID might be getting much more serious, especially if the tongue turns into this deep, deep red colour.
Now, trying to instill in GPs, for example, all of these colours and what they might indicate, and some people might be slightly colorblind, even if they're a doctor. So it might be hard to discern what really is wrong simply by looking at the tongue.
Yeah, well, I wonder how many doctors still do it, Pat, by the way. I was at my doctor recently. He didn't say stick out your tongue. It doesn't happen as much, but maybe some still do it for a start, you know. But AI, of course, Pat. Now, again, it's yet another example, as you and I have discussed, of artificial intelligence being deployed in a very clever way. And again, AI might be used now to scan the tongue and then tell us more about what's happening with the body. And the study, they took 5,260 images were fed into the machine to teach the machine how to learn. Yeah. All these different colours were in there as well. And then 60 different photos of tongues with different colours linked to a disease that was fed in as well.
Okay, so they found people with these particular diseases and then they told AI, this is what you look out for.
Yeah, you've got it. It's called machine learning, as you know. You're training the machine then to tell the colour of the tongue and then diagnose the disease. And then the big experiment, Pat, they got all these volunteers to stick out their tongue 20 centimetres from the camera and then ask the machine, is the tongue a certain colour, number one? And number two, what might it mean? And of course, the doctors knew what the illness was and the tongue.
So
and
accuracy.
They were amazed. It was 96.6% accurate diagnosing someone. Now, that's a really interesting number because it's really accurate. Can you imagine? So here we have a situation where now sticking your tongue out could actually be extremely useful in terms of accuracy at diagnosing the very things we've been discussing. So it's caused a bit of a stir because it's a good example again of AI.
Yeah. And you can imagine how cheap that could be, you know, with it might be an app on the doctor's mobile phone, just takes a picture of your tongue and goes into the app and finds out what's wrong with you.
Precisely. It adds to the diagnostic power in the GP surgery is the idea. Now, because as you know, Pat, we're moving towards the GP more and more. GPs are doing more and more diagnosis. It's kind of part of that trajectory.
Now, there are other organs of the body and other functions of the body that are supposed to tell us things. Your eyes, for example, mirrors to the soul whatever.
Yeah, the eyes have all kinds of indications as to what might be wrong. Again, doctors would look into someone's eye. Remember with the old whatever it's called again, to look in someone's eyes, that was measured as well. Again, differences in the eye in terms of the thickness, the lens changing. Again, that might indicate certain things happening inside your body as well. So it may move into the eye.
And then your poo.
Next. Your poo, very important. Exactly. You had to take
that goes back to the Roman times, I think, they used to diagnose.
I think ultimately we're heading towards a situation where you will go to your GP or your pharmacist, by the way. Remember, the pharmacists are doing some of this.
Yeah.
And AI will be deployed. And now a very accurate diagnosis might happen and then they know what to do next. With this one, it might mean go and get more tests done. Are you anemic? Have you got toxic shock syndrome? What it's worth to say. It might point a doctor in a certain direction.
The kind of things, tools they have at their disposal at the moment, you know, they ask for a urine sample and they have a dipstick and they can detect all sorts of things simply from a urine test. More sophisticated is the blood test, which goes off to the lab before it comes back. But these are much more accessible kind of routines, aren't they?
And we love independent lines of evidence. If you're a scientist or a doctor, you want separate lines of evidence. So if you combine the tongue change with a dipstick test, that increases accuracy overall as to what the diagnosis might be. So I suspect it's going to be used in combination with some of these other tests to really firm up on the diagnosis finally, you know?
Yeah, and they have all sorts of things now. They've cardiac monitors just using two fingers. They have blood oxygen meters in your watch.
Yep.
So there's a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff going to happen, yeah. The young people today, when they go to their GPs, it'll be a bit like the Starship Enterprise. You'll sit in some chair, you know, stick your tongue out and a robot will tell you, oh, you've got anemia. That kind of thing. That's the future of this, really.
By the way, just a different story entirely, Luke, and I'm not sure whether you've seen it, but I saw an article suggesting that people in the United States should delay getting their COVID booster because there's just been approval given for a new super-duper booster.
Absolutely. A lot of COVID news this week, but actually, to be honest, that's one story, right? Because obviously, if you've been infected over the summer, you're probably pretty protected for 2, 3, 4, 5 months anyway, you know, and then you might delay it because at the moment, you get 3, 4, 5 months protection anyway. That's one thing. And now they've just approved. Yeah, three variants have now been approved, including Novavax, which is a famous one. So again, you might wait a little bit, and it depends on which variant is there. But remember, any vaccine stops against severe disease, which is a good part. And the second study I must mention, Pat, is, you know, there was a side effect to do with heart problems in young people. That was a worry.
Yeah.
with AstraZeneca, for instance. Massive study. It is a side effect, but it's a lot less than the virus itself. That causes a much higher risk of heart problems if you get infected. So yet again, the risk benefit there is towards vaccination.
Okay, but it's good that they're doing the work to
massive work. It was over 5 million young people were studied. Can you believe it? A huge number of people. Yeah. And we're getting more and more data, of course, having given billions of doses. These are now among the safest vaccines they reckon ever invented, given the amount of data we've got. You know, it's fantastic, isn't it? So it's good evidence that the initial trials were correct, that these were safe enough.
A final story, I suppose, which is a bit dispiriting, is the emergence of polio once again in Gaza.
Isn't that shocking? Absolutely horrendous.
To be eliminated entirely.
Horrendous. And that's one of the worst diseases a child can get because they get paralysed. And there's a fantastic vaccine to stop it. And now in Gaza, the vaccine isn't getting out there, tragically, and there's kids coming down with polio. Yeah. I mean, it's a huge
The question I was going to ask you about is, because they thought they had effectively eliminated it in Gaza, and then it emerges. And, you know, we talk about smallpox being eliminated. But I'm wondering, where do these viruses lurk?
It's a good question, because polio is almost eliminated. It's like smallpox. Yeah. It's almost eliminated now. There must be still little pockets of it somewhere. And especially in underprivileged countries where there isn't any vaccination or less vaccination, maybe one or two cases are persisting, you know. And very importantly, when you combine it with stress and anxiety and the immune system is now in trouble, then the polio might get a foothold. So I suspect in Gaza, it's two or three things. Lack of vaccine, stress, and of course malnutrition are all factors that increase the risk. So it's a real tragedy that polio is re-emerging.
It certainly is. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
And still to come...
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.